Hi, and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and before we get started with today's episode, I just want to share about some things that are upcoming in the Womb-Centered Healing Temple this fall 2019. I'm very excited about all of these new inspirations that seem to be creating themselves with my assistance. So the first thing that I want to share about is the first Womb-Centered Healing Temple in-person gathering. This will be taking place October 5th through 7th in California, Northern California at Harbin Hot Springs. And this is a wonderful hot springs resort that has just reopened this year after being completely destroyed by fire 4 years ago. The pools, however, of course, the pools survived. They were not burned, and the pools are the most exquisite hot springs water. It feels like going back to the womb of Gaia and being supported by her amniotic love. So I want to invite any of you who are listening who might want to come and join us for this gathering. This will be a donation-based gathering. What that means is each participant, each person who comes to the gathering will be responsible for setting up their own accommodations at Harbin Hot Springs. And it's very reasonably priced, at least for this neck of the woods. And you make up your own accommodations, and then we will have a schedule of gathering, and you can make additional donations for the leaders of each circle. It's probably going to be mostly me, but there might be other womb-centered healing practitioners that want to offer a ceremony or a circle, and you can make donations to them. So if you're interested in attending the first Womb-Centered Healing Temple in-person gathering in California this October 2019, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach me through the wombcenteredhealing.com website to talk about that. The next thing that's happening is at the end of October, October 31st, will be the beginning of the Biomystical Womb 9-Month Apprenticeship. There are several of my students and temple members have been talking about wanting to do an apprenticeship, and I finally got the message, oh, that's me, that's my job, what I'm supposed to create. And so I put it out there, we're going to start on the 31st of October 2019, and I'm making this first round, and I hope to continue to make this apprenticeship as we do subsequent years available to anyone regardless of what financial contribution they're able to make. So that means that there's a sliding scale for making that financial contribution. And there are also many other ways to make a contribution. One of them is by becoming a case study for the Biomystical Womb book, which I'm in the process of writing. And so there's an application for that. And then the case study participants can make whatever financial contribution in addition to their case study contribution that they feel to, even none if they're not able to make a financial contribution, but only the participatory contribution as a case study subject. So if you are interested in learning more about this Biomystical Womb 9-Month Apprenticeship, again, you can reach out to me through the WombCenteredHealing.com website, and I'd be happy to answer any further questions. You can also find the information page about that Biomystical Womb Apprenticeship on the website there. The third thing that I'll share about is an upcoming womb art online gallery exhibit, and that will be after the apprenticeship starts getting going. Womb art will be part of the apprenticeship, so we might have a student section in the online gallery, and there are also professional womb art participants that will be putting their womb art up. So if you're interested in participating in the womb art show in the temple, gallery show, coming up in November this year, please don't hesitate to reach out as well. at, again, www.wombcenteredhealing.com. All right, and without any further ado, here's our next episode. Thanks for joining us.
I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up, she says, wake up, wake up. Listen, 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 listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up, she says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen, may the rivers all run free, may the mountains be unspoiled, may the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar and I have Inka here with me today. I met Inka through a post that I saw on a friend's social media timeline about your blood love work. So I would love for you to share, introduce yourself and share perhaps about that more. I'd love to hear more about that. And then any aspects of what you do and how your womb-centered healing work that you feel inspired to share about to begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my name is Inka Linda. I'm an artist. I also create community spaces for people to heal and connect through storytelling. And I, in the past maybe 2 years, have been developing a practice and a lifestyle of helping women connect with their wombs, particularly through the spiritual, artistic elements of the menstrual cycle. And I've been deepening my own womb work journey, my inner healing with my womb for the past 2-3 years, and have a deep connection with how our menstrual wisdom is a form of art that can be healing, and it's a form of soul expression that has gotten lost in translation. But by understanding it and reframing it as an art form that exists like anything else in the natural world that can be interpreted as art, I'm really passionate about helping initiate women into perspectives that allow them to heal into the healing qualities of this relationship by seeing it creatively as opposed to just the biological function of the menstrual cycle, which can sometimes lead to a disassociation that we see in the collective with a lot of women in their wombs. So this whole movement, this whole passion is really called blood love. And it's something that I was just led to really start channeling about a year ago, about 2 years ago, when I started doing energetic clearing work. A sister of mine, and she really started to introduce me concepts of our meridian lines and different ancestral epigenetic patterning that we receive, especially around the womb. So when she was clearing my womb and I finally cleared my womb throat chakra connection, because the womb and the throat are connected, I just started channeling all of this information around blood and the psycho-spiritual, bio-mystical, I guess, components of it. And it really felt like it was such a deeply integrated wisdom, even though I hadn't really studied it. Mm-hmm. So it was clearly coming from some type of pre-wisdom that was just channeling through me. And then over time, I just started practicing sharing it online with some close sisters and some close womb groups. And the potency of the transmissions and women's feedback was always just so intense that it made me realize, like, okay, this is clearly coming from source, and it's clearly activating some type of collective wound that we have. Mm-hmm. and with my own journey as well, like it's in my incarnation, I grew up as a third culture kid. So a third culture kid, are kids who grew up other than their parents. So my father is lineage, he's from Finland. My mother's from Malawi, India. But I grew up in the Philippines and Canada and the UK and Namibia. So I was always very initiated and introduced to this interconnectedness of how we're all very similar, even though we're different. And so I was always fascinated by things that unite us despite our differences. And when I started to look at menstruation through the lens of creativity, like as a creative force, I started to understand that despite all our cultural differences, menstruation is actually a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of our oneness. It's a symbol of the creation power of the feminine essence, which regardless of our backgrounds, our differences, nationality, it's an access that we all have a connection to. And it feels deeply ancestral. And it also feels deeply quantum, because it also opens up epigenetic timelines. So in terms of by us doing the inner work to reverse the inherited epigenetic of shame, guilt, and dogma, we also start to activate possibility for healing for future generations. So it all just really started synthesizing more in my consciousness, crystallizing more in my consciousness when I did energy work training, and I really started to understand more about the chakra system and our meridian points and epigenetic patterning. So a combination of my childhood and the way I grew up, a really international background, as well as with my just connection to the artistic and creative expression of menstruation and energy, like it all just kind of came together where I was just really crystallizing this transmission about loving our blood is a form of reversing our conditioning. And it has a ripple effect in terms of how, when we're at that resonance of unconditional love for ourselves through our wounds, it creates this vibrational standard for other sisters to then feel into their own conditioning and where that has actually been dormant or suppressed. Mm-hmm. And I also studied sociology in my undergrad, and seeing from a sociological perspective, sociocultural perspective, the way that shame and stigma have been so heavily imprinted into the collective around menstruation really sparked my curiosity, because I was able to see it as just an understanding, as an agreement. Social contracts are just agreements that we all energetically bind ourselves to. And so by agreeing to blood being shameful or dirty as a construct, we can equally agree that it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We can really reverse that, not disentangle that bond, energetic bond, or you know, really free ourselves from that mental spell, which is so intergenerational. Mm-hmm. And with the advent of social media right now, it's really beautiful that we get to see how our power of free speech, our power to share voices, to share stories, has created this vibrational domino effect where women are seeing the normalization of women talking about their blood, talking about their wombs, as we would, if anything, in the mundane world. Mm-hmm. And also this beautiful resurgence of remembering that it is ancient. So although it feels new to see it in the digital realm, really all the change in the digital realm is a sparking, like latent, I think, ancestral memory on a very collective level, which is really what's shifting, I think, people on a really somatic, bodily level, because they're feeling parts of themselves. We're feeling, and I'm feeling, and women who I know are joining this journey are just feeling like a real embodied feeling of oneness, as opposed to just the mental, intellectual understanding that we're one. And I think this is really a big part of why the womb is so misunderstood, because it is such a unifying principle. It is such a embodied, unifying, potent force of oneness. And it unifies as opposed to separates. So it's been a really beautiful journey having all of these downloads, and each of them arriving at their, you know, corresponding time, and spirit was like, okay, this is like a whole step-by-step 360-degree paradigm here. And having those downloads to implementing them in this online community called Blood Love with my sister Nayla, And that itself has been its own journey, because Nayla and I, we met in an online womb sisterhood called Deeper Inner Knowing, which is run by a dear friend of ours called Yana, who was the one who introduced to me energetic clearing. Mm-hmm. So working with meridian lines. And after Nayla and I both got trained in this energetic practice that she was working with and had done on us called the spiral, which is a combination of chakra work, meridian work, working with spiral dynamics. We both decided to collaborate and really help crystallize this transmission that was coming through me. Nayla's background is really working with the somatics of the womb-throat connection through singing. So really helping women connect to the throat of their vagina, the cervix, and the deep womb voice that comes when we're able to just really clear a lot of our trauma, do that connection. So she's a very potent medicine singer. And then my own transmission of blood, because really understanding and disentangling this spell, the spell of shame and secrecy around blood, made us realize that, you know what, if we're going to really activate those latent codes around like the suppressed blood power, that life force energy in the womb, it needs to be equally expressed through the throat. Because if we're able to speak and use the portal of creation of throat chakra to speak our truth, to speak life back into our wombs, to speak about this phenomena, we're really helping heal that severance that's really just cut us off from being able to share that true life force expression. So when we decided to combine forces, we kind of were just thinking like, okay, this is its own creature, its own baby. We don't really know what it's going to look like yet. We just know it needs to be in the world. So we created this online Facebook group, and then it just started rapidly growing. So we opened it in March, and now it's September. And we have about 1,100 women from around the world just talking about their blood, sharing resources, support, prayers, offering magic. Truly like a menstrual digital village.
Lovely.
Yeah, just talking and sharing with their blood from different lineages as well. So we initially decided to make the Facebook group. Then we decided, and we were being led to create an online course where women could enter a Facebook group and receive different tasks and receive different artistic invitations to channel the wisdom of each season and each phase of the menstrual cycle in the 4-week cycle, the typical model that's based on the four seasons, and giving women an actual online art classroom as a medicinal sanctuary to journey with each of these archetypes. And in our course, we wanted to explain these archetypes, yes, seasonally, but more so interacting with each phase of the menstrual cycle as an archetypical woman. So when menstruation being Lady Death, spring being Lady Rebirth, our ovulation, our summer being Lady Fertility, and autumn being Lady Descent, so premenstruation being a sense of descent. And so each woman would then be able to interact with this archetype, archetypical wisdom within themselves, and create art. And it was a 6-week online course. It just wrapped up the last new moon we had. And it was very, very much like its own, again, creation, its own entity that we just simply were midwifing into existence. And we actually got to see how creating a combination expression and education and activation in an online space has such profound and potent effects for women's embodied healing. So really coming back to art as a therapeutic medicine, but using the digital realm to do the energetic work remotely that's needed for us to tap into this shift in a very embodied way. And so we would have Zoom calls with women all around the world, doing energy work with them, clearing into their collective energy field, clearing them individually, and also discussing and sharing our art and what's coming through for us, what's coming through for them, and feeling the presence of, you know, not only just us on these calls, but deeply feeling the presence of our ancestry and our descendants all in this vortex of co-creation. Because something, you know, as I'm sure you've experienced, is so potent when women communicate through their wounds. It feels like a very multi-layered conversation, and really Red's possibility between women and between ancestries and lineages. So we just wrapped it up and we're processing and taking in what this whole birthing has been since, I'd say, last year, but it really started in March. And now we're just taking in the fact that, you know, the online community, as it keeps growing, is just a testament to this wave we're seeing all over the collective of women really using this medium, using this platform to speak light and speak truth to this ancient secret, which is really just a form of ancient medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think for the first time for women to see the multiplicity of perspectives in one space, like an online space, whereas, you know, our grandmothers, our mothers, our great grandmas, if they ever did talk about it, in the highly unlikely chance that they were in a supportive environment that allowed and facilitated those conversations, it was probably just amongst their immediate circles. Mm-hmm. And now we have this global stage with the online realm where it's not only multicultural, but it's also different ages, women at different points in their lives, different backgrounds. And I think it's that synergy that's really becoming the catalyst for this rapid paradigm shift, this rapid synchronicity that we're seeing, where women are calling this in. I feel like there's a deep yearning for this type of primal sisterhood that's unifying not just those of us who are bleeding, but, you know, our elders who are no longer bleeding, have a completely different embodied type of menstruative power. And also the youth, so teenage girls or pre-pubescent girls who may not have hit it yet, but we have that compassion for them, because what I found in my journey, and the more that I've talked to women, it seems like the real universal core wound is the wounded teenage girl, that just goes really unaddressed. And it's a commonality that we share in many of our stories, whether it's us directly being shamed for our blood or having to agree to the subversive violence of silence, and also like the ancestral amnesia and the ancestral erasure of that collective memory of how, no, actually we did have rituals and practices that deeply bonded us with our earth and our womb, with our blood and each other and our elders and our future youth. So it just feels like there's a big reversal at hand here, and it's all divine timing, because it has, it feels like it only could have happened this way with social media.
Well, and I feel like all of these things that you're talking about that are arising, this longing, this need of anyone at any phase of their life, of any gender actually, I'm feeling, to this longing to connect with this lost bond in the body to the womb, right? So whether that's, you know, that starts at conception,
right?
And that moment of conception is meant to be this ecstatic, orgasmic moment for everyone involved. And how often has it not been that? Mm-hmm. For many of us, very likely it's not been that, as much as it could be, at least. And even if it has been that, then how much stress is there for unsupported motherhood? Mothers just aren't supported as needed, as is necessary for being able to fully nourish and care for children, for their growing fetus during pregnancy, for their growing baby during the pregnancy. Any stress at all that a mother undergoes or experiences, any fear about her security, any stress with the relationship with the father, the child, any stress at all is greatly magnified in the womb. And that baby, that influences the genetic, the way that baby is expressing its genetics, right? And then that baby also has the genetic imprinting from previous generations of whatever stress that baby's grandmother had when she was pregnant with the mother, because that egg was in that baby inside the grandmother, right? And so that stress from pregnancy, conception, pregnancy, and birth gets passed down and greatly influences this epigenetic transmission of how we develop. And so that it begins there, and we're all longing for the, you know, and we have the genetic capacity to have that connection, but it's been turned off.
Right.
And so you mentioned codes and things like that, and that those codes are in our blood, in our menstrual blood, in, you know, in the stem cells in the menstrual blood. It has all of that genetic information in it. Mm-hmm. And we have that still in our bodies. And I feel like our longing for something, that something's missing, is, you know, we've tried all different things. We've tried consumerism. We've tried all things. And it's just not satisfying that longing. And because of, I feel, our survival instinct, you know, because this culture that doesn't honor and recognize the importance of the womb and of our reproductive power as women, that doesn't honor that and revere the womb and revere menstruation, I feel that's the root cause of so much of the self-destructive
patterns
that we see in our society, with environmental degradation and all of that. It stems from that. And so out of this crisis, you know, of our species, of are we going to do ourselves in arises at the same time strong survival instinct, collective survival instinct. And I feel like this upswelling and resurgence of this ancient memory that's in our DNA of, we need to be revering our wombs and our menstruation. We need to be preparing our young girls for the power of fertility, and our young boys and everyone of every gender needs to be prepared and needs to feel closely bonded and connected to a supported mother in order to fully develop, right? Yeah. And whether that's the biological mother or divine mother can come in and be surrogate when our biological mothers are too wounded and can't offer that, or to not supported to offer that, then we can all reconnect to Divine Mother. And that's what's arising, is all of the goddess awareness and all the mystical experiences. You know, I'm doing this, we talked about the biomystical womb work, and I have case studies, and some of the most, and for myself personally as well as my case studies, some of the most profound and awakening mystical experiences come at the most challenging of moments, where even our life is at stake, where we're having a near-death experience, or a loved one is going through that portal, or we're giving birth right at that doorway between life, the living world, and the spirit world. That's where the biggest mystical reconnection or disconnect can happen, with, you know. And so so this awakening of all of this beautiful reconnection to the womb, to menstruation, to the creative capacity and the connection between our womb and our voice, which I feel in my reflections recently is so important for fulfilling our life purpose. Yeah. I feel like there's moments right before conception. In fact, the guidance I've been receiving for my biomystical womb practice, and for this apprenticeship that I have coming up, is that there's a council of ancestors and descendants that get together in spirit, right before everybody's conceived, and discuss what the purpose of this conception and this life is. And everyone's involved in that discussion and agreeing, yes, this is the purpose. This is the exact right parentage. This is the exact right circumstance to give this being the exact, you know, experiences needed in order to fulfill that purpose. And so this awakening and this nourishment of the connection between reconnection between our wombs and our voices, and breaking free of that silencing that you mentioned, is it feels like an important, super important to being able to articulate and express and create that that purpose in the world and bring it into physical form. Mm-hmm. And in both directions, right? The inspiration from the womb, the creative impulse comes up and is expressed through the voice. And then also the voice can express through sound and through just that knowing into help the womb to heal or shift or readjust. So there's this two-way movement of energy that I feel. And so I love it that your introduction to all of this was with energy work. And I'm real curious to hear more about you mentioned a couple of times the energy meridians and the genetics. And I'm real curious to hear a little bit more detail about what you discovered, perhaps from your personal healing experience. You know, what did you discover in your energy meridians, perhaps, that needed to be realigned or cleared or vitalized or soothed from hyperactivity? What did you discover that was related to your genetic inheritance and your ancestral, whatever you inherited, that showed up in your energy meridians? Can you share a little bit about that personally, specifically?
Yeah, definitely. It's a very beautiful question. So for my particular ancestry, being half Finnish, my masculine, my paternal ancestry, and Zambian, Malawian, Congolese, actually, and my mother's side, I always felt that there was this seeming epigenetic tension between my masculine and my feminine that feels like it's residual ancestral inner conflict around the two polarities existing harmoniously, especially with, you know, ancestral imprints of dominant white male ancestry over like the oppressed black feminine. This was really like a epigenetic dance for a while that I had to do a lot of clearing around to really allow the two polarities to exist and express themselves fully through unconditional love as opposed to just regurgitated tension or conflict. And especially since my maternal line is African, and I saw my grandmother's womb from my mother's, she's African, really feeling a lot of the collective pain body that I had to clear within my system around the African diasporic, just African general collective female pain body of women's wounds being exploited, women's wounds being dehumanized, women's wounds consistently giving life in systems that are designed to ensure the fatality of the future young because of institutional structures and racism, all of these codings that were just epigenetic shockwaves and ripples or ripples in that quantum field in my being, or ripples in the water of memory of my being. I had to clear all of that. So in my own journey of doing a lot of energy work ancestrally, it was really just allowing space for the feminine to heal all of those wounds and imprints, and really recalibrating my masculine to serve my feminine, as opposed to this domineering energy or force that's not coming from the heart center space of true equality and partnership. And in my own personal journey of just doing deeper energetic clearing work, I really had to clear a lot of anxiety, grief, and dogma I had that was trapped in my sacral chakra, that also manifested itself in, you know, my weakened throat chakra that wouldn't allow me to fully speak my menstrual truth, to also realizing I had imprints through adolescence of being initiated in my throat chakra power through gossip or through belittling other women. So a lot of the venom daggers, the venom poison that we have in our throat chakras, I feel in the collective as women, if we identify as that, can really be traced to the way that we initiate teenage girls into their vocal power through not initiations through love, but initiations through fear. So fear of being able to not express themselves properly means there's a damnation that occurs to other women who then express themselves authentically. And just feeling all of these patterns that I had and that I had to myself disentangle and really reclaim my true expression, which again is not my mental voice, but it's like my root voice and the root really living in my womb. And so the more energetic clearing that I did, the more I found it to express itself through art. So I channeled a really powerful full moon transmission meditation called Womb Rage. And it's like a sonic sound journey that's also poetry, medicine, all woven into one that I channeled while I was menstruating on the full moon in the real thick of this energy work that I was going through. So when I finally felt my throat chakra and my sacral chakra connect, so I finally tuned to my womb voice, I channeled this ancestral message, but then I put a music score to it and really made it a psychedelic initiation journey. Women to access the latent rage that sits in the shadow of the emotional spectrum of the womb. And once I had released that and I shared that with other sisters around the world, that's how I got in touch with Naomi Love. She came across it, reached out to me, and all of these synchronicities also had happening. And that really is just what illuminated to me that the more that we're able to encourage one another and facilitate each other's clearing of these blockages that really hold us back from being able to access our womb voice, the more we're able to unlock these waves or these messages that are channeling through us individually, but also channeling through us for the collective. And I found that there is a lot of shadow, unaddressed shadow to the emotional spectrum of the womb that we don't get to talk about, which is part of the dehumanization process. So the more that I was able to tune into my cycle and clear all my energy emotional blockages and feeling deeply the emotional spectrum of my womb, the more I was able to realize, okay, this is what it's kind of birthing itself now in the catharsis for the collective and for me, being able to acknowledge and express the emotional spectrum of the womb and not just navigate it from a mental linear framework, but actually tune into the biomystical aspect of the emotional spectrum of the womb outside of just the childbirth narrative, which is the only times I had personally in my journey tuned into how I could start feeling deeply from my womb and realizing actually menstruation is a highly ecstatic, highly complex, rich, nuanced emotional spectrum. We feel joy, filled with, you know, heavenly qualities that we all are programmed to accepting as hellish, that it's very normal to be at like war with myself. It's very normal to be at war with my womb, and as opposed to why is dysfunction normalized? And everywhere I would see, again with that sociological, I guess, background, just really seeing how it's all part of the media, it's all part of the way that it's represented. A real perverse twist on something that is really medicinal, that we are taught to normalize as being a curse, as being something that burdens us. And so this is where I really started to come into this idea that, you know, the way that we're taught to understand menstruation is through scarcity programming. There's a lot of talk around scarcity programming, you know, capitalism or money or whatever stories we have, but embodied scarcity, where we genuinely are taught to believe this phenomena takes away from us and burdens us and reduces our power because we're conditioned to power through a very perverse masculine template that's wounded. So as opposed to, like, there's immense power in cyclical energy, there's immense power in the vulnerability and the tenderness of menstruating, there's immense psychic intuitive power to this capacity. But because we're taught to view ourselves, and I was conditioned to view myself as productive, as my output, as my external contributions or external performativity, it really made me realize, the more energy work I did, that this is an embodied form of programming that, like, lives and festers and grows in my womb, and I actively clean out those weeds, those narratives, those templates that are artificial. And it has really come back to that remembrance that my womb is just an extension of Earth, and Earth has her own cycles, her own ebbs and flows, and none of it's dualistic. It's just is. And it's really that transmission of that acceptance and of the seasonal, the cyclical, non-predictable aspect to the feminine, I think, is what so many people are yearning to connect back with as well in the collective, and not be so limited and punished by the fact that we are complex. There's a lot of internalized burden that we carry, that I carry, of being complex and cyclical like this. And the more that I was able to connect that with the macro truth, that, oh yeah, of course, I'm an extension of Earth, I feel like it's really healed my relationship with Earth. I feel like I heal Earth and connect with Earth in a very profound way. And I feel that that's a ripple that other people on similar journeys of viewing and embodying that acknowledgement that we're extension of the Earth can really find solace in, and find that longing in, like, reuniting with the Earth, the womb of the Earth.
You know, as you were talking about all of this, I received a transmission.
Nice.
About it, because you had mentioned Lady Death and menstruation being Lady Death, and the message I got is, what if this last period of time where we forgot all about the gifts of menstruation, and or it was taken from us, it was oppressed out of us, you know, what if that was a menstruation of menstruation? And that losing that and then finding it again is like the springing forth, and the regeneration makes it even more powerful than it ever was before. And that's what we know about the cycles of life, the cycles of Mother Earth, and that whole aspect of trusting in that comes as we learn to revere that again. And that regenerative power of, you know, shedding what was life-giving before and then rebuilding it in a new way, and that cyclical way that, you know, I mean, Mother Earth is so abundant with the seasons that, you know, generate, it's like a generator, right? The generator goes, like a mechanical generator, it goes round and round and generates power through movement. And so I feel like these cycles of light and dark, of cold and warm, the seasonal cycles generate more and more life. And if you're a gardener, which I am, you know, it's like there's so much biomass that's generated every season. And then you put it in the compost pile and it decomposes. In fact, I was just working with the compost pile just before we got on the call, and just appreciating that and that compost then becomes the fuel for even greater growth and even more biomass and food and nourishment and medicine, and it's just this, it just is a part of the regeneration.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like for those of us who are deepening into the complexities and the wisdom of the menstrual cycle, I feel like this, you know, it's almost like you learn how much you love something or someone once you've lost them, and then if they come back, that love is even greater than before. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so there's such a powerful intensity to this resurgence for those of us who are engaging with this remembering, this great remembering of this blood love, of this, the bliss of menstruation. So I'm very grateful for you coming and sharing about that, that we could feel that and recognize that together. And so I'm curious where it's at for you now. Where do you feel it's growing now? What's the next evolution for you?
You know, I feel like blood love is, it's definitely the archetypical multi-armed goddess with many arms and with many different types of arrowheads of direction that it wants to go, she wants to go into. I've been getting downloads. Well, we're going to continue our next round of our online course. So as of September 22nd, we'll be doing our next round of women who feel the call to really deeply engage and journey with the different archetypes of the different seasons of their wombs through art. So that'll be launching on September 22nd. But we really, for the rest of the year, after the next 6 weeks of that round, want to just focus on how we can create, you know, the corresponding necessary masculine structures in place to allow this to really be its own social enterprise. I really foresee blood love being able to be an engine of social good on multiple levels. So yes, it provides like online educational material, community resource for women, but translating this much more as well into the physical. So having, you know, training blood love facilitators who then can bring this work into schools or into their neighborhoods through workshops and other events and means, so that we can really start to harness the actual synergy that comes when people come together. Because we also recognize there is the barrier to entry for this type of medicine work if it's just based in the digital realm, even though yes, it can kinetically have a very uplifting and inspiring ripple effect. We do want to ensure that it can be translated to the analog world, the non-digital world. And equally wanting to create products so we can start reaching teenage girls, so creating books with this type of translated, embodied, bio-mystical, energetic wisdom, mm-hmm. but in a digestible, palpable way for teenage girls. Because we also do see that within the market of menstrual resources and menstrual books, it doesn't actually quite capture this energy realm still. It is still quite two-dimensional, and it is still not fully empowering teenage girls, initiating teenage girls into that mystical, psychic, intuitive wisdom that comes from recognizing that the womb is a portal of creation energy. And so we feel like that's a narrative that's really still quite lacking presently. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, great resources that are coming out to help women in their journeys that we also want to showcase. So really creating a social enterprise or a brand that allows us to talk about different products, different practitioners, different perspectives. So there really is just this plethora of, okay, women get to choose and feel into just what is that out there. Because the biggest obstacle we find right now is that women just don't know that there's stuff out there, or people just don't know what's out there. And this isn't just, of course, to women. It's, you know, I've had men reach out to me, you know, non-binary people reach out to me. It's all a ripple effect of just this awareness of this womb web reality where, yes, we're all interwoven and interconnected together by the threads of our wombs and the resources that we get to pass along to each other through that space. But these are all just the offerings and the multiplicity of multiple offerings that are coming through us. It's like if we really want to target the many stakeholders or the different people in the world who can positively be affected by this in a way that is easily actionable, it would be creating creating things. I personally feel that I really want to root Ludlow's ethos and mission and vision in reviving Indigenous wisdom, really reviving lost Indigenous wisdom around menstruation, as well as unifying that Indigenous wisdom with helping regenerate the land. So it really is a complete circle of regeneration, and not just women feeling good because they're connected to their blood, but actionable change. So either partnering with Indigenous communities and women who still have trades and crafts that activate menstrual wisdom, that activate menstrual art, and also wanting to do reforestation. So imagining some type of social business enterprise model where women who join Blood Love or maybe are members of this community, a portion of that can go towards replanting the rainforest, replanting land somewhere, so women get to really feel the full transmission of that full mother meets mother earth matrix of the womb that is lost. And we live in a time where we can really work with business models to create change in those multiple, multi-armed level direction. Yeah. So that's really kind of, I'd say, the 3 to 5 year vision, maybe sooner, of Blood Love.
Well, and you know, with the, you started out with a collaborative approach with you and your friend
Nayla.
Nayla, and that feels to me like, you know, you talk about all these different branches in the multi-armed goddess, and you know, people ask me, well, how are you doing all these things? And well, they're all collaborative projects, right? So when, so that I'm not having to do everything, there's an energy that's bigger than what we can all individually do, that that gets generated when we come together and we work together and we're collaborating, and our intention is to lift each other up, and everyone benefits and everyone grows. And so, you know, I mean, I already know at least one organization that's doing the tree planting that you're talking about. I don't know if you know about Tree Sisters.
Sisters, yes.
And that could be very easy to integrate into, yes, you know, having regular donations going to that work, you know, and becoming a part of that. And they have a lovely business model too, for nonprofit, you know, organization, of how to incorporate these principles of menstrual wisdom, cyclical wisdom, into how we conduct all that we do, right? So giving time and space for the resting, the menstruation, that whole cyclical generative power, activating that, and then it sounds like you're setting up your structures, including all that. And I'm excited to discuss more about possibilities for collaboration with you.
Absolutely.
That's my model. So we won't necessarily get into that here on the podcast, but if you're curious how we're going to collaborate, listeners, stay tuned. And so if people wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about your upcoming programs and stuff, what would be the best way to get a hold of you?
So yeah, people would love to get in contact. I'd love to connect with you as well. You can always email me at info@inkalinda.com. So that's inkalinda.com. And okay, you can find me on Facebook as well, Inkalinda. So yeah, if people want to join the Facebook group, the online Facebook group is called Blood Love, a Global Sisterhood. And if you join, we can just approve of your request and get you right in this menstruating global village.
Nice. Lovely. Wonderful. So thank you so much for joining me. And as well, if anyone is interested in learning more about the offerings of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, there's a little announcement segment before we got started on the interview here, so check out those offerings as well. We're getting ready for the first bio-mystical womb 9-month apprenticeship.
So exciting.
Also the first in-person Womb-Centered Healing Temple gathering over here in Northern California. So And then we're also having a womb art gallery show later on in the year. So I'm looking forward to talking with you about collaborative possibilities besides just this podcast, which is our first date.
First date.
Right? Okay. So thank you all you listeners for joining us. And we look forward to sharing with you again soon. That's all for now.
Take care.
Take care.